Have you ever been out walking in the snow? Tried to get back where you were before? You always end up not knowing where to go. Have you ever been out walking in the snow?
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Common Way Midweek. My name is Gus. I'm the college pastor here at Common Way, and this week we're starting our first week and our first chapter in the book of 2 Peter. We just finished 1 Peter. Now, 2 Peter is a little bit of a tone shift from 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, Peter's writing this group of kind of new churches about being persecuted, and in 2 Peter, he's writing to that same group of churches. But what he's doing is actually kind of warning them about some leaders who've cropped up and are kind of leading them astray. And so Peter's doing a little bit of rebuking, a little bit of reminding. So there's a little bit of tone shift in these three chapters. But we're going to hop right in to chapter 1. If you want to read along, we're going to start in verses 5 through 8. Now, as you're turning there, I'll just say a little bit about this section. It's basically Peter kind of reminding these people of what it means to follow Jesus before he gets into a little bit of rebuking or calling out of some people who are doing some things wrong. So in verses 5 through 8, let's read together. This is Peter kind of reminding them of who they are. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the other day I had this experience where I compared myself to someone else for some reason, and then I immediately felt worse about myself than I had before. I hope that's a universal experience, and it's not just me, but isn't it easy to look at other people's lives and start to compare them to yours and wonder, what in the world am I doing wrong? Am I missing something? Did I miss a step in the instructions? Because it seems like I don't have everything together. You know, every time I get on social media, it's like people are learning Spanish and they're doing home projects and they're traveling and they have biceps. And I'm just sitting at home, just writing emails and like eating toast two meals a day. And I just wonder, what am I doing wrong here? Seinfeld is one of my all-time favorite TV shows, and I think he captures this feeling well. Let's watch together.
Did you ever get the feeling like you had a haircut, but you didn't have one? I'm all itchy back here. What?
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Our lives! What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
We come up with all these stupid little reasons to break up with these women.
I know. That's what I do.
Are we going to be sitting here when we're 60 like two idiots?
We should be having dinner with our sons when we're 60.
We're pathetic. You know that?
Yeah, like I don't know that I'm pathetic.
Why can't I be normal?
Yes, me too. I want to be normal. Normal.
It would be nice to care about someone.
Yes, yes, care.
Doesn't that feel relatable sometimes? Don't you just find yourself going, what am I doing with my life? What direction am I headed in? I know in Christian circles that same dynamic can kind of appear where I look at my spiritual life and go, am I missing something? Am I doing something wrong? And again, I can hear someone else's story about their faith, and where, you know, they prayed with someone in line at the grocery store who later they saw driving on the street, and their song was playing the same song as the Bible verse they read earlier, and there was a rainbow and a dove landed on their shoulder, and then there was a baby that said a Bible verse. And I just am trying to get just a little bit out of my daily devotionals just so I can get through the day. And I start to wonder, am I missing something? And whether you want to call it, you know, insignificance, or as Peter writes, he calls it ineffectiveness or being unproductive. I think that that gap that we all feel sometimes between who we thought we ought to be and where it feels like we're at, it's not far off. And Peter writes more specifically about being effective and productive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is an interesting phrase, but one that I can relate to, where I kind of think in my head, you know, I know the gospel, and I think I know Jesus, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. What are the next steps for me? How am I effective in that knowledge? That's something I hear quite a bit from college students and in the college ministry, this feeling of, I have this new exciting faith that's brand new to me, and I'm fired up about it, but then there's sort of this inevitable, almost guaranteed next step, which is sort of this phase of, what do I do now? How do I keep this going? What's this next thing? How do I continue to be effective and productive in my faith? This threat of spiritual ineffectiveness or unproductiveness is what Peter is addressing in this passage. And I think there are two tempting paths to go down to maybe combat that, two tempting responses that are easy to see but might not actually be the right direction. I think one way to go would be to sort of wallow in our ineffectiveness, to just sort of rest in it, or to try, and the other end of the spectrum, to prove our effectiveness, to appear super productive spiritually or just in general. The wallow side of things might just look like me saying, well, I guess that's not for me. You know, I guess that spiritual activation, spiritually effective lifestyle is for someone else. Sometimes I actually think kind of being sloppy can almost turn into a swagger, where apathy can kind of be like, you know, yeah, you know, my life is a mess. I'm just a bum, you know, whatever. And that can sort of actually turn into an avenue of acceptance, where I just sort of laugh everything off. And I know I've done that before. Certainly, my college years were spent me trying to be cool guy Gus, where I was almost decidedly and purposefully ineffective, all for the sake of kind of a shtick that I was doing, just to kind of appear easy breezy, I suppose. What the problem with that is, untapped potential pretty quickly goes from being less funny to being a little bit sad, actually. And luckily, this is not what Peter suggests for us as effective, productive people. Peter doesn't just say, I know the gospel, but, you know, I'm just little old me. I'm kind of a mess sometimes, so it's not that big of a deal, which is good. But Peter also doesn't go to the other end of the spectrum and say, hey, you don't want to be ineffective. You better have a pretty impressive resume when you get to the pearly gates one day. And my goodness, what a temptation that end can be as well, to try to prove it to everyone around me how impressive I am, how impressive we are. Or at the very least, I'm sure we've all met someone at some point who is just desperately trying to prove how significant they are, trying to prove their own effectiveness or their own productivity. And that is one of my very least favorite things in the entire planet is kind of a spiritual superiority contest that can happen amongst Christians sometimes, where you can just feel someone trying to prove how spiritual they are by knowing all the right answers or being involved in all the right ways and trying to prove, I am productive and effective as a Christian. Just look at all the ways I can prove it. And neither of those approaches, the kind of just wallow and say, I guess I'm just not going to be effective, or the try to prove it, neither of those are the plans Peter gives us. Instead, let's read again verse 5 together, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than resignation or some kind of qualification, Peter shows us a roadmap to a productive and effective life in Jesus that is both simpler and more challenging and more difficult to execute than what we might have expected. Let's look at that list again. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Now, we don't have time to get into all of those individually, but I just want to point out a couple of things there. First off, the order of that list does actually matter. That's purposeful. And it's not that you kind of graduate from one on to the next level or anything like that, but there is sort of a progression with, at the very top of the pyramid, love. And the Greek word for love there is agape. Agape, love. And that means a love that is not all emotions or all passion or like a marriage partnership, but it's a love that is a choice to be charitable. A love that is decidedly about me laying down my life in the name of love for something else. And that's kind of what this list progresses to, is agape love. And what else sticks out to me about this list is that these things that Peter is talking about making us effective and productive as followers of Jesus, it's a qualitative list. It's not quantitative, which is good news for us. My wife is a public school teacher, and every year, her and all the teachers get evaluated on how effective they are, whether they're highly effective or not effective. And the language they use is about effectiveness, just like Peter. But of course, their effectiveness is based on all quantitative numbers and stats. You know, did you hit these certain standards? Check, 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 check. What were your test scores? Show us the data. Check, 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 check. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? They're not bringing Stephanie in and going, you know, this year, Stephanie, did you increase in love? Did you increase in self-control, in virtue? That's not how they do it. It's all quantitative. Luckily for us, as believers, our list, our standards, which you might say, for effectiveness and productivity are all qualities. They're all qualitative. God isn't going, all right, Gus, how many virtue points did you go up this year? How many knowledge units did you gain? That's not how qualities work. You can't go get your degree in godliness and then just be done with it. It's a quality that you live with. Which is the fun thing about us getting to be effective and productive in Jesus. It's a qualitative list, which also means I'll never get to the end of it and I'll never get out of it. You know, a seventh grader needs to work on these things just as much as a 70-year-old. They both need to be loving and godly. And, you know, if I'm a person, if I don't have my career all figured out, if I'm living at home with my parents, kind of waiting on my life to get traction, waiting on my life to get started, I can still be an effective follower of Jesus, according to Peter, because I can still be self-controlled. I can still be virtuous. I can still be loving. And on the other end, if I've, you know, made millions and retired to some life on the beach, I haven't graduated. Those things don't hold up. I still have to be charitable and loving. I still have to practice godliness and self-control. Growing up, my mom would always tell me that being a Christian was both the train and the station, that it's both, it's the arrival, the journey, and the destination all rolled into one, which is comforting to me, because as long as I am participating, that means I'm in the right place. As long as I am participating, and as Peter calls it, the divine nature, that means I'm being effective. I'm being as productive as I need to be. Everything else is just short-sighted. A few weeks ago, I used this Bob Goff quote, and I wish I'd been thinking ahead, because it works even better this week, so I'm going to share it again. He says, "I used to be afraid of failing at something that really mattered to me, but now I'm more afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter." I think he gets what Peter is talking about, that us being effective and productive, it's about succeeding at these qualities. It's not about some accolade I can get. It's not about succeeding at something that doesn't matter, as Bob puts it in that quote. You know, I think this is an area where as somebody in my 20s, or maybe as somebody kind of in the middle chunk of my life, I think kids and older folks, the elderly, they've kind of got me beat in this area. I think they understand what Peter's talking about better than I do. You know, because a kid's got no accolades to show. It's got no resume. Kid's not worried about that kind of thing. And generally, the old people who seem like they get it, they're participating with the divine nature, they're not hanging on to their accomplishments and ambition and that kind of thing. And I think those two groups get, it's about these qualities. It's about participating with the divine nature. Meanwhile, I'm trying to perform and get my ego going and have all these accomplishments. And I better going, what makes me effective as a believer are these qualities of Christ. It's not something that I've done. Let's hear it from Peter one more time before we go. And just think as we read this that Peter is confirming our calling of what it means to be followers of Jesus. He's reminding us how to be effective and productive in Christ. Let's read verses 3 through 11. It's a little bit of a long chunk of verses, but it's just so good. Let's read. "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by its evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Ah, man, that it just does me good to hear that making this project of my life and this project of me following Jesus about anything else other than these qualities of Christ, it would just be so nearsighted, it'd be blind, and I would be forgetful. I'd be forgetting what Jesus was all about. But if I practice them, if I just participate in the divine nature and the qualities of Christ, I'm effective and I'm productive and I won't fall, which makes me feel like I'll be okay. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, that's all we have for chapter one this week. Next week, we'll be back together on 2 Peter chapter 2, so feel free to look ahead there if you'd like. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week.